This is an adult bedtime story to help you fall asleep comfortably. So only listen to this when you can pay it your full attention, when you won't be disturbed, when you can close your eyes and relax deeply. And it's best to listen with headphones. But you can drift off to sleep without headphones if you like. So when you're ready, just get yourself comfortable and close your eyes and begin to listen to me talking in the background. And as I talk to you and tell you this adult bedtime story, so you can drift deeper and deeper asleep in your own way. And I don't know whether it'll be the words that I say that help you fall asleep, or whether it'll be the way that I say the words that help you drift comfortably and deeply asleep. And you don't have to give that any thought. You can just listen and follow along. And have a sense that you're rowing down a river through a rainforest. And you've got a boat that you're sitting on, and you can hear each stroke of the oars as they hit the water, and you can feel the change in pressure as they hit the water compared to when they're passing through the air. And you can have a sense of cycling your arms forward as you push water back. Bring your arms back as you move the oars forward. And then cycling your arms forward as you push the water back again. And hearing that slight sloshing sound as the rows, as the oars push into the water. And hearing the sound of the splashing as they raise out of the water, and feeling the slight speed changes as the boat increases in speed each time you push the oars through the water, and the breeze on your face. Hearing the sounds of the jungle around you, the sounds of monkeys, of birds, of rustling leaves, and feeling the warmth in the jungle. And after some time rowing along the river, you decide to pull over to the riverbank. You see what looks like an old path. There's not much that gives away that it's a path. But you know, as an expert, that there was a path there in the past. So you pull over. You row your boat up slightly onto the shore. And hear it scraping and sliding on the slightly gravelly shore as it beaches itself. And then the sound of putting your oars down inside the boat before you climb out onto the shore. And although it looks like there was a path here, you still have to hack your way through because it's still quite dense and overgrown. So you swing your machete, you hack your way through before eventually you find a clearing. And in that clearing you notice there are some ruins. They're very overgrown, there's ivy all over them, there's moss all over them. There's trees growing out of steps. There's trees growing out of buildings. There's monkeys and birds flying around. And you notice that this used to be a vast ancient city. You don't know where everyone went. You don't know why the city has ended up deserted. And you don't know what purpose this city served, what kind of city it was. But you start exploring and you find symbols on the walls. And you're curious by the large stepped pyramid structure off in the distance at the far end of this city. So although you are exploring the rest of this lost city, you're mainly heading towards that large pyramid. And so you walk deeper and deeper into the city, heading towards that pyramid. And when you arrive at the pyramid, you start to walk around the base of it. You don't know if it's always been a stepped pyramid or whether it used to have sides on it, making it smooth. And you walk around and you try and find a way in and you can't see an entrance. So you climb up onto the first step, which is almost as high as you are. And you walk around the pyramid on this first step. And halfway round the side of the pyramid, you see some symbols. And when you reach forward and use your hand to wipe the moss away and remove the vines that are covering the symbols, your touch on that bit of the pyramid seems to open a secret passage. So you walk into that secret passage to explore the pyramid, and it's dark inside. And you notice some wooden torches on the ground that just need the ends lit. And you decide that you'd rather light one of those torches than use your normal battery-powered torch. You've always dreamt of being an explorer. And so you like this idea of having some authenticity to the experience, rather than just a bright modern-day torch. You'll use the old flame-on-a-stick torch. So using a lighter, you light the end of the torch and hear a whoosh as the flame lights, and you walk into the pyramid. You walk down this dark, narrow passageway, going deeper and deeper into the pyramid. And you can notice the orangey flickering lights around the walls. The reflection and the flickering light from the torch. And you continue walking deeper and deeper into the pyramid. And it begins to seem a bit like a maze. You take a left turning, and then another left, then a right, then a left, then a left, then a right, then a left, before noticing the only route left is a right. And because that's the right route to take, because it's the only one left, you take that right route, turning right, before then finding some steps that are going down deeper into the pyramid. So you walk down those steps, and you can hear each footstep echoing. and you can notice the change in air pressure as you walk. And occasionally there seems to be some wind inside the pyramid, because you can notice the torch flickering as the air passes over it. And when you've walked down those stairs, you find a large chamber, so large that the torchlight doesn't reach the ceiling or any of the other walls, other than the wall beside where you've just entered. And so you walk into this large chamber, unable to see in the distance in any direction, slightly concerned about whether you'll easily be able to find your way back out. You're confident that at worst, you'll be able to just find a wall and follow the wall all the way round until you get to the exit again. But for now, you're too busy wanting to go deeper and deeper exploring inside the pyramid. After a while, searching in the pyramid, searching through this room, it seems to be a very empty chamber. And you don't really understand why. You don't really understand why this chamber was built so large and so empty. Maybe it was due to be used and just wasn't used yet. You were unsure. And eventually you get to the other side of the pyramid. You get to the other side of this chamber. And you see a narrow passageway which you squeeze through. And then there are some steps to your left, heading all the way down even deeper. And they're very steep steps. So you follow those steps. And in your mind, it's almost like you count down the steps, because you don't want that experience on the way back of accidentally missing a step and stumbling at the top. And you walk down really carefully and slowly, because it's really steep, and so it's not easy to see the steps beneath your feet. And you don't want to thud your foot down, thinking there's another step when there isn't. So every step you take very slowly and carefully. Step 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you find yourself in a chamber which is really quiet. It's almost like there's no echo in this chamber. Everything is mute and muffled. There's a certain comfortable warmth to this chamber. And again, your light doesn't reach across to any of the walls. So you just have to walk. And you walk your way to the middle of the room. And then as you get to the middle of the room, you hear a certain kind of clicking noise, almost as if something was turned on. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the room, is a blue holographic person appearing. And they're dressed in robes, and they have a headdress on. And they start talking to you, and somehow you seem to understand them, and you don't know how to talk to you, or who they are, or how an ancient race has managed to build a holographic projector inside a pyramid. You can't see how the projector's working. There seems to be no light shining from anywhere else in the room. Just a hologram right in the middle of the room, as if it's just appeared independently of anything else. There doesn't seem to be any kind of projection. And the hologram starts talking to you and starts telling you about wisdom, wonder, secrets of the ancient races. Races that came from space, that shared a little of their culture with early humans on Earth. But they couldn't interfere too much in human development, in human progress. If they'd gone to these early humans and just given them technology thousands of years more advanced than they were at, they would have been able to eventually figure out how to use that technology, and they could have been taught. But it would have transformed the flow of development, which would have stifled their growth and their ability to fully understand and grasp what they had, because they wouldn't have worked up to it. It's a bit like someone doing a maths test and just being given all the answers, rather than giving them time to learn how to work out those answers for themselves. And they apparently left some of these holograms behind that could only be triggered by certain technological advances. So someone checking the room, who wasn't advanced enough to be able to understand what they're being told, wouldn't trigger the hologram. It's only when society reached a certain level that the hologram would present itself. And the holographic person revealed all about where in space they came from, how far they travelled, how they survived between the stars, how it took them many generations to get from their world to Earth, and that they became an exploratory race. That when a group of them left their planet, they knew that they would never return. So a select number of people who committed themselves to knowing that, a select number of this race, set off and regularly beamed back information about their discoveries. But the further from their homeworld they got, the longer it took for signals to reach that homeworld. And as they'd been travelling for centuries, generations had passed. And then when they'd been travelling for thousands of years, they'd begun to evolve into something different to their old ways, something more suited for life in space. So they had to land on planets and wear spacesuits to protect and support their bodies, which weren't used to the gravity on any planet at all. They had very little strength, but they'd increased in height. As if being in space had elongated them. And they sought wisdom and knowledge about development. And they tried to generally just observe different species, different planets. But sometimes they'd be seen as gods. And there was something about a certain age of being that made that possible. Beings that didn't understand the world around them, didn't think they were gods, but beings that had reached an evolutionary stage where they're trying to understand the world around them, would interpret these beings that came down from space as being gods and would then worship them. And this being explained all this before vanishing, almost like vanishing in a puff of smoke. And once the being had shared all its wisdom, you then found your way back the way you came, worked your way back out of this room, up the set of stairs, back through the next chamber, and then out of the pyramid. Continuing to explore this land, continuing to explore the ruins, and absorbing all that you've been taught, all that you've learnt, your inner wisdom. And because it was getting late, you decided to set up a tent among the ruins, set up a campfire, make yourself something to eat on the campfire, and sitting in your tent, having a drink, eating the food you prepared on your campfire, gazing up at the stars, wondering which star that being came from, and where those beings are now. And watching and listening to the crackling fire before heading into the tent, settling down for the night and falling asleep.